Welcome to the California Businesses on the Rise show. I'm Gustavo Tapia, co-founder of Height Digital and owner of Height Digital San Francisco. We impact people's lives by empowering them to reach their goals by growing their authority and helping them network with other business owners. Stick around to the end of the show. We'll reveal how you can be our next guest on one of the fastest growing daily inspirational podcasts.
Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in to California Business on the Rise podcast. This is your favorite podcaster, Romina. Yep, I'm calling it out to the universe. I'm your favorite podcaster out there. Well, today, you guys, we actually have another amazing guest. We have Gerardo Guerra Bonilla. Hi, how are you today?
Hey, Romina. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Pleasure all mine. I'm actually excited to hear about, first off, to share with the audience exactly what do you do, but I would love to pass on the mic to you too to tell us a little bit about your American journey too, because I'm sure a lot of people would actually resemble with that, especially coming from another country, you know, building a business, being successful in a whole another country. So I will pass on the mic to you to introduce yourself to the audience and tell us how awesome you are.
Excellent. So I was born and raised in Mexico, in Monterrey, Mexico. It's probably like 2 hours from the border of Texas. And I went to medical school over there. And almost at the end of medical school, I decided to come to the U.S. and specialize. And, you know, I thought it was kind of an easy journey, but I first started as an exchange student at the University of Miami. And from there, I went to Harvard and then to Baylor in Houston. And that was just as a visiting student. So I had to come back to Mexico and actually finish medical school because, you know, it's different, completely different than the U.S. system in Mexico, probably different than the rest of the world. But so in Mexico, they have this particular thing, it's called social service. So you have to pay back to the community before you can actually become a doctor. So after my experience in the U.S., I came back to Mexico for almost 2 years. I finished my social service. And instead of being like a doctor in Mexico, giving back to the community, I stayed in my university and it did things a little bit different, like almost everything I did. So I helped them develop some research labs, and then they opened a dental school. So I helped them develop a dental clinic. And so it was really exciting. And it was my first glimpse into the business world of medicine, because it was very rewarding because it was for underserved population, and it was this health clinic / dental clinic. So you can see after months of hard work, like you can see all the patients coming and getting dental health. And so it was very rewarding. But anyway, after that, I came back to the U.S. and I started preparing for applying to a specialty here in the U.S. So I originally wanted to be a surgeon. So I worked with a plastic surgeon in Baylor for a year and did some research, followed some papers, and then I that's where I met my wife. Then I worked with a dermatologist for a year and finished studying for the boards. And then finally, I finished my studies and applied, and I didn't get in. So, yeah, I know it was hard. It was hard. So I discovered family medicine, which is not very common in Mexico. And I mean, here, everyone knows what family medicine but in Mexico it's not as common. But I discovered you can do a lot of things with family medicine, including like minor procedures and I loved talking to people. So it was like a good match. So there was this program at UCLA. It's called the UCLA IMG program. And their purpose is to bring doctors that speak Spanish to California. And, you know, in California, 30% of the population is Hispanic, but only 3% of the doctors are Hispanic. So there's a big gap. So what they offer is they help you get into residency, the training for specializing. And in exchange, after you graduate, you work for Hispanic populations for a couple of years. So I started that. It's kind of like a pre-internship, and then you actually start internship here in the U.S. So it was, I don't know how many, like 6 years from medical school to actually achieving my dream of starting specialty. But that was in 2013, and I started Family Medicine in Northridge, which is in L.A. It's a UCLA-affiliated hospital. And I graduated. It's a 3-year specialty, and then I moved to Northern California, where I live right now.
Nice.
And in Yolo County, which is a lot of Hispanics over here. It's like a little Mexico.
Well, I actually...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that was the reason why I asked you, because whenever I was doing research, I just found it very interesting that you had, you know, affiliation with different programs and everything. And you actually founded StatNote, which I think it's a really fundamental thing. And it's a really, you know, innovational thing that you're doing. So it kind of relates, as the audience can kind of see, that you touch medical field in different aspects of it. And now you're practicing the medical field. But I would love for you to actually highlight also StatNote, and how is this innovation helpful to the medical field across the board, no matter what medical field you practice?
So it all started because when I was in residency training, I had my first baby, and you know, residency, it's a lot of hours of work. And so I quickly realized that if I wanted to spend some time at home, I had to be really efficient. And one of the main causes of burnout for physicians and where they spend a lot of time is medical documentation. So what I started to do is I started to create templates for every time I see a patient. You know, you have to write a note of what happened and the diagnosis and the plan. So but I realized that, you know, you see certain conditions over and over. And you're always typing the same thing. I mean, obviously, everyone is individual patient with different characteristics and different symptoms, but it's very similar. So I started creating these templates, and my rule was that if I saw a patient with the same condition twice, instead of just typing it again, I'll create a little template, and then it will pay off. I will spend like 5-10 minutes creating it, but then next time I saw a patient, it paid off because it took me a few seconds to insert a template and edit it. So after 3 years of residency and then 3 years of practicing, I accumulated like over 1,000 templates. And, you know, I saw a lot of my colleagues staying late after work, finishing their notes, and working at nights during the weekends. And this is very common. I mean, almost 50% of U.S. doctors suffer from burnout. And one of the main causes is medical documentation. So in my mind, I say, well, it works for me. So let me share it with my colleagues. And I thought I could create a software somehow and put my templates there start a business and help my colleagues. The first thing that I did was the most, to see if it was viable and cheapest thing to do, or they call the minimal viable product. It was to publish a book with the content. So I used self-published a book on Amazon, and it became really popular. After a few months, it was the bestseller in the practice management category. So I said, "Well, this is
you're into something,
and you know, It was interesting because I thought it was going to be used for doctors, but I realized any clinician can use it, like nurse practitioners, physician assistants, residents, even medical students. So after that, I was a little bit more serious about it. Then I created a website and I put the content online in an electronic format and people could buy it. And I learned how to use WordPress and Google Cloud and all these different technologies. So I was having a lot of fun. And at the same time, I was getting a little extra income. So it was nice. Obviously, I was reinvesting everything in the business. But after it started selling online, I mean, it was not only selling in the US, also doctors from the UK, Australia, Canada, and I started buying the content. So then I decided to actually make it official and start a corporation. And I started looking for people that could help me because I'm not technical. I'm tech savvy, but not technical. I don't know how to code. I took a few courses of Python and other coding, but I don't know how to really do it. So I was chopping around and seeing who could work with me. And I, a few years back, I met someone local here who had this, he created this software. And I remember he told me, oh, if you're ever interested in doing something, just reach out. So I remember that and reached out to him. And sure enough, he was an excellent candidate. It's a developing firm that develops software for other companies, and his team of developers is in Argentina. So in September, we started kind of working on the idea, and we started working on it. And by the end of mid-December, we created our own app. It's a web application. And that's, we call it ChartNote. And the reason we put it on the web is because, you know, a lot of doctors, they have their computer office, but since healthcare tries to be very secure, they cannot install any software in the computer. So we decided to put it on a website so that anyone could access it. And it's been 3 months and we're getting a lot of traction. We already have almost 500 users. And we're constantly adding features. We're about to release a feature where the doctor can dictate the note. More than anything, it's like my creative outlet, and I'm just having a lot of fun. And I know I'm helping people because I know it's a pain. A lot of doctors just spend a lot of time doing their documentation, and there's an easier way.
Well, I love it because you kind of walked through, number one, you have that experience with different fields. The second one is once you saw a trend, you start creating your own templates, you start doing your own research, and then put it into the trialing period, which, you know, seeing your colleagues out there would be able to use it as well as launch it in a book. And now it's creating this whole new revolution pretty much towards, you know, the being helpful for the doctors, because everything is a domino effect. You know, the doctors are be able to be more efficient. The patients don't have to wait for an extra hour in the waiting room while the doctors are doing notes, especially sometimes, you know, every patient is different, even though they may have like resemblings. Every patient is very different. So sometimes you have to make sure you add those notes. But if you do have this easier use templates that once you start using them, you can also tweak around to make sure, you know, that everybody would be a lot more efficient. I love it. This is really awesome. Now, let me ask you this. What has been one of the biggest obstacles throughout building the business? Because you are a doctor, you do practice family medicine, but on the business perspective, what has been one of the biggest challenges for you guys, and how have you pivoted in order to grow and learn from, I would say, your trial errors from the past?
Yeah, so one of the big problems for me at the beginning was time, because I had a full-time job. I was waking up very early and working on the business and then go work. So when I took things a little bit more seriously, I switched jobs. So instead of working in the clinic, I took I started working in the hospital, and I took this job that is called a nocturnist. So you work at night. And the benefit of doing that is that they let you work less days. So I only work 4 days a week, and it's nights. So that gave me more time to actually spend time in the business and develop it. So that was a way to solve the time issue. And then the other problem was obviously money. So we're bootstrapped, and so far I haven't received any investments, but I'm looking for, because my wife won't let me spend more money on the business. But so obviously time, money, and the big one that for me in particular, I'm not technical, like I said, so I had to look for someone who could actually build a product. And I think in a way that's something good that I could delegate that job, because otherwise I wouldn't have the time to do it. So I have a clear vision of what I want to do. And by delegating this job, it's having extra hands to achieve the goal of what I want to do. But I guess those were the three main obstacles.
Nice. That's amazing. So what is one of the best compliments that you have gotten from like a doctor or physician that actually has used the program itself that has been able to save them a lot of time? Can you share us a review or a testimonial that you got?
Yeah. So, one of the ways that doctors save time to on medical documentation is dictation. So there's a company that has been doing this for like 30, well, maybe 20 years, and they dominate the market. And I have one review on my website, and this doctor says, I no longer use Dragon. That's how we call the dictation software. I only use the templates, and they save me time. And so that's like really rewarding, right? But I mean, just the fact that someone can leave off the office early and go home and probably have dinner with their family or not work during the weekend, finishing the notes is, I heard that it's something that works for them. So absolutely. It really helps.
I mean, time management is super important. One thing you don't get back is time. So being able to help medical doctors and being able to help everybody to manage their time better, more efficiently, be able to be more productive, spend more time with family, or maybe see more patients, be able to help more patients so they don't have to wait longer to see the doctor. That's pretty amazing. It's really something great. I love what you're up to, and I love to see, because I know you said you guys have about 500 members right now, but I'd love to see that being tripled within the next few months. And where can people actually connect with you? Where can people connect with you and actually learn more? And maybe, a doctor is listening to this and is loving this idea.
Yeah. So, before I tell you that, let me just remark that the patient side, because it's also really important.
Yes.
Not only they save time, but they actually have the time to spend with the patient, which it's one of the things that doctors stop engaging the patient, and then also that adds to the burnout, because they didn't went to medicine to spend time with the computer. They actually want to spend time with the patient. So that helps. But going back to your question, so I have a blog on statnode.com, and I try to publish a monthly article. And so that's one way to they can subscribe to a newsletter. And then if they want to try our app, they can go to sharpnode.com and just create a free account. And there is a big button on the side that says feedback. So every time you send a comment, I'm the one that I read all the comments. So and I try to address them. Obviously, the company has the social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And personally, I'm also very active on LinkedIn. If you search my name on Twitter, I think I'm Gerardo_GB. And I try to share interesting articles and thoughts. And you can always send an email to hello@sharknote.com.
Nice. Now, I want those patients to start emailing you once they start to understand that the doctor is actually using SendNote. Now, that would be pretty amazing to get the patients be like, thank you so much. I was in and out, like, you know, like in half the time that it usually takes me. Now, that would be amazing. So I'm waiting for that to happen. Gerardo, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. Any last thing that you'd like to leave the audience with? Maybe something that I didn't ask you that you'd like to share?
No, we're all, our intention is to serve our colleagues, and in the future we want to actually focus on patients as well, but that's coming up. Stay tuned.
He said it right. Stay tuned, you guys. Thank you so much, Gerardo, for being a part of the podcast. And thank you to my dear listeners for listening to California Business on the Rise podcast, your favorite podcaster, Romina, here. I hope you guys have a tremendous and a fabulous time. Until our next episode, make sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening to the podcast from to make sure you never lose amazing episodes just like this one. Till next time, hope you have a great one.
It's Gustavo here. Thank you so much for listening to California Businesses on the Rise. If you're a business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit hypedigital.com/podcast-California/apply. If you got something out of this interview, would you please share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and post it on the main social media platform you use. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them and let them know about the show and include the hashtag California Businesses on the Rise. We are regularly putting out new episodes. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Any likes, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to hypedigital.com/San-Francisco or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you again.